As we do begin our message this morning, I do want to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament. The New Testament book of Mark, chapter 12. Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you right now, this is going to be more of a starting passage for us this morning, more like a springboard, because we are also going to read from the Old Testament today after we start in the New Testament. But we're going to also read in a moment from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. But let's begin our reading this morning in Mark chapter 12, reading verses 28 through 31. Mark 12, beginning in verse 28. And this is always optional, but if you're able and would like to stand together, let's stand together in honor of the Word of God as we partake of it here today. Mark 12, beginning in verse 28. And it says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he," now that's Jesus they're talking about, "perceiving he had answered them well, he asked Jesus, 'Which is the first commandment of all?'" Verse 29 says, "Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment.' He said, 'And the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.'" And may God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, that passage of Scripture that we just read from Mark chapter 12, it happened in the midst of a conversation that Jesus was having with various religious leaders of the day. Now, we did not read far enough back to get the full background of the setting that was happening here, but we would see earlier in this chapter that there were discussions going on between Jesus and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. And these were people that were considered to be the religious leaders of the day, even though we also often see that the heart and the motives of these so-called leaders, their hearts and motives were not in the right place, and they were quite often not fully devoted unto God. And Jesus often called them out on it, did He not? But we see them here asking many questions of Jesus. Now, often, as we know, those questions were an attempt to, I just have to laugh at this, trick Jesus, hoping to confound Him, or hoping that maybe Jesus would contradict Himself, or perhaps verbally stumble. Ha ha. That was not going to happen, was it? But they were really hoping they could bring some kind of accusation against Jesus. Wasn't going to happen. But you know, perhaps other times they were legitimately seeking the answer to a particular question, and they were interested in what Jesus might have to say. But regardless of the motivation here, a question is proposed unto Jesus. And that question is this: what is the most important commandment? And yes, I am paraphrasing that somewhat, because we see it worded differently in the various scripture translations. Some say, like the version we read, what is the first commandment? Other translations say, what is the foremost commandment? Or what is the greatest? Or what is the most important commandment? And in answering the question here, Jesus goes back to the Old Testament. Now, in that day and time, they did not have the full Bible as we have it now. They did not know it as the Old Testament. But to them, you see, it was part of the Mosaic book of the law, or the Torah would be the Hebrew word, the Hebrew description. And I think Trey, the Greek word is the Pentateuch. I don't just know that. I have to look these things up, and then I forget by the time I get up here. But I believe the Greek word is Pentateuch, and that's referring to the first five books in our Bible now, the books of the law as we call it. But Jesus goes back to what we now call the book of Deuteronomy. So when Jesus begins to answer this scribe, beginning in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, as we read, Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. So I want us to read some of those verses. So if you'd like, if you want to turn with me now back toward the front of your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, that would be the fifth book in your Bibles, the book of Deuteronomy. I know I mentioned earlier that our passage in Mark, it would be more of a starting point, but let's look now to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, and I'll just tell you that much of our focus is now going to come from the book of Deuteronomy for the remainder of our message. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9. And I'll tell you, you're going to recognize many of these words as they contain the same thoughts, some of the same words that Jesus shared in our passage from Mark chapter 12. But Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to read 4 through 9. And I'm beginning in verse 4 because that's where Jesus began quoting. But Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then he says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Verse 8, he says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." He says, "You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Yes, beautiful words. And again, that was from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, thus referencing the same passage that Jesus was quoting from in our initial scripture passage of Mark chapter 12. And that is why these verses from Deuteronomy 6 should have sounded familiar to us, especially verse number 5. Because they are the very same scripture that Jesus was making a reference to when he answered the question of the scribe in Mark chapter 12. And you see, not only do we see that here in the Gospel of Mark, but we see many instances throughout the Gospels where Jesus was making reference to the Old Testament book of the law. Also, we know that Jesus quoted from Isaiah. Jesus quoted from other Old Testament prophets. You see, Scripture was very important in the life of Jesus Christ. And my dear friends, it should be very important in our lives also. And concerning these particular verses, these are words that we have heard many times before. And yet I wonder, how much are we really applying them to our daily living? And I'm talking about those words that say, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." What that speaks of is a passionate love for God. And yes, you may have noticed in your bulletins, that is the title that I gave to our message today, A Passionate Love for God. And as God's people, I want us to consider this question here today. Do we have a passionate love for our Lord? Now think about this. He is our creator. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. And certainly He is our redeemer. And He has demonstrated His fathomless love unto us. But to what degree are we loving Him in return? Friends, it is a conviction of my heart that too many people in today's world do not have a passionate love for God. And let me, in fact, be a little more specific with that, because really, it's not even surprising that people out in the world, people outside of the church, will not display a passionate love for God. But what is more alarming, however, is it seems not just the world as a whole, but even within God's church today, there is a lack of passionate love for God. Even among those who claim to be believers, those who claim to be followers, those who call themselves Christians, talking about the redeemed of Christ, even among the church body, we sometimes see an overwhelming apathy and a lackadaisical spiritual attitude. You see, when it comes to our fervor and our zeal for God, I'm afraid the people of God all too often have just sort of a ho-hum, careless attitude. We may not like to admit it, but sometimes we are selfish with our prayers, we're lazy in our Bible study, we're complacent in our worship, and maybe perhaps even seemingly unconcerned with the lost souls that abide all around us. Now, my dear friends, let me tell you, I don't really mean to get all cranked up and sound like I'm stepping on other people's toes, because this is a message that I need to hear. It's a message that I desperately need to take into account in my own life today. As I examine my own heart and my own life before God, I have to ask myself, am I genuinely loving and serving God with a passionate zeal? That means an enthusiasm, an excitedness. Can people look at my life and tell that I am sincerely in love with God? And I'm not asking, can people tell that I'm religious? No, that's not it. There's a big difference between just being religious as opposed to genuinely loving God. Can people see it? Can people see it in your life? That is a question that I continue to ask of myself. And this morning, I ask it of you also. Can people see it in your life? Not just being religious, but rather having a passionate, undeniable, fervent love of God that permeates through your entire being to such an extent that people can't miss it. Do you love Him that much? He loves you that much. And God proved it by sending Jesus to die for our sins. Now, assuming that you are a Christian, and, you know, maybe that's an assumption that I just shouldn't make, and really I don't, especially considering that we do an online broadcast here, we record our messages, I don't really know who might be listening or who might go back and listen later. But you know, even among those who are here in our building most Sundays, I certainly don't know everyone. So I don't want to take this for granted, and it certainly needs to be said. You know, typically I'll wait until closer to the end of the message to talk about this, but I'm just going to say it right now. If you are listening today, and you have never opened up your heart to God, receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I sincerely hope and pray that you will see your need for the Savior here on this very day. Now, the primary focus of this message today is not necessarily about salvation, but it is nevertheless an urgently important issue that we should always consider, because we never know who might need to hear it. And if indeed there is someone listening today who needs to know Jesus as their personal Savior, let me just assure you, there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus teaches us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then He goes on to say, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. You see, the cross of Calvary is the gate by which we enter into a relationship with God. Now, I hope that you've done that in your life. If not, I plead with you to open your heart and receive Him. His arms are wide open to you. And we, of course, will talk about that in just a bit toward the close of our message in a few moments. But moving along, for those of us who are saved, which I hope is all of us, but to those who are the redeemed of God, we need to let it show. It's like the Bible says in Psalm 107, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." In fact, there's a little more to that verse, so let me read it. Psalm 107, I'm going to actually read verses 1 and 2. Psalm 107, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And then verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." Church, that's us. We have been redeemed from the hand of the adversary. We need to say so, as the Scripture is telling us here. I ask you today, does the excitement of your salvation show forth in your daily attitudes, in your daily actions? Are you showing forth the demeanor of one who has been redeemed by Jesus Christ? You know, in Psalms, the Bible speaks of the joy of our salvation. And there should be a joy that radiates forth in our lives. And if there is not, if we are not displaying that joy to the world, then how do we expect the world around us to want what we have? Let me ask another question. And this is a rhetorical question, meaning I don't really want anybody to answer this out loud. Well, you could raise your hand. I just don't want you naming any names, okay? But have you ever known anybody that claimed to be a Christian, but they just didn't act like one? Okay, keep your hands down. But and listen, I'm not so much even talking about people out living in obvious sin as I'm talking about those who just have no joy in their relationship with God. You know, Tim and I were talking about some like that earlier today, and I said, "Are you talking about those kind of Christians that walk around looking like they were baptized in dill pickle juice?" Now, you know, and I did not originate that. That did not come from me. I heard it some, but you know what? I've not only heard it, I've seen it. I've seen it a few times through the years at different churches, but you know, Christians who look like and act like they haven't even been redeemed. But my point is this. Listen, do you love Him? Do you love Him? Do you love Him? I mean, hey, Jesus asked Peter that same question three times back to back, so I figured it wouldn't hurt us to hear it three times also, just to let it sink in. But do we have an unmistakable, passionate love for God? A fervent desire to praise Him, to worship Him, to exalt Him, to honor Him, and to share Him with others? We should. We need to. And listen, not just for our own personal edification, but for the furtherance of His kingdom. And you see, the furtherance of His kingdom, that means that we are reaching people for Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Reaching people for Jesus? And if we are not, perhaps it's because our lives are not truly reflections of Him. And maybe that's because we're not loving God as deeply and as passionately as we need to. And listen, my friends, I don't want to come across as negative, and I sure hope I'm not coming across as negative. And even as a preacher, I don't like to be overly preachy, if that's even a word. I don't think it is. But anyway, I will say once again that it is my personal conviction that God's church, God's own people, are too complacent and lackadaisical in their love for Him and in their service of Him and in cultivating their daily, not just Sundays, but their daily relationship with Him. Well, let's go back and look at Deuteronomy again for just a moment. I'm sure you remember Deuteronomy 6:5, which says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." Now, we know that verse But listen carefully again to the next verse, verse 6. It says, "And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart." Some translations say, "be in your heart." But did you hear that? These words shall be on your heart. In other words, study them, contemplate them, learn them, and live them. Make those words a reality in your life. I want you to think about this. This verse that we know so well. The verse that says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." We read it in the Old and the New Testaments. And to borrow an expression, most of us know that verse by heart, meaning that we have memorized it. But do we really know it in our hearts, meaning our innermost being? Very quickly, let's continue in this passage, Deuteronomy 6. Now going back to verse 7 where he says, well, it says, "These words shall be in your hearts." And then starting in verse 7, "And you shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, you see, that's a pretty firm commitment. He says, teaching these things to your children, talking about them while at home, while away from home, when going to bed at night, and when you get up in the morning. That just about covers every area of our lives. Our lives are to be relentlessly consumed with a passion for God and a passion for His Word. And I'm just going to tell you, my friends, I hope y'all don't think that I'm overusing that word passionate. Now, there's y'all. That's a good Southern word. But I'm going to use another one. I'm fixing to use that word passion a few more times, okay? So get ready, because here it comes. But my friends, we should have a passion to know God deeply and to make Him known unto others. We should have a passion to perpetually learn more of God's Word. We should have a passion to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we need to have a passion to reach out to those around us in acts of Christian service as well as in displays of Christian love. We must have a passion to be a people who not only learn God's Word, but who actively put His Word into practice, not just on Sundays, but in each day of our lives and in every aspect of our lives. We must have a passion and desire to let the love of Jesus permeate our lives to the point that people just cannot help but see Jesus in us. And as we wind down today, let's make a commitment to be so full of Jesus that Jesus just spills out everywhere to everyone around us. It is my prayer that we will have a personal passion about seeking after God. And I hope you've not lost that passionate fervor. And if you have, I pray that you will consider rededicating your life to the Lord today. And maybe you're a Christian who has never quite had that depth of love for God that you need to. I urge you to call out unto God today and come before Him in humble repentance and commit to give Him your all. And then don't forget about it once Sunday is over. Listen, I understand it's real easy for us sometimes to get fired up for the Lord while we're here in the church building, here in His sanctuary. And then sometimes it very quickly wears off when we walk out those doors. You know, once the service ends, then you move on to the next activity of your day. Are you going to remember later today, and then maybe into tomorrow and into next week, that you are making a commitment to walk more closely with Him and to deepen your love for Him? Don't let that commitment fade. My friends, keep seeking Him. Be a seeker of God. He says to seek His face. You see, that makes it personal. Continue to seek Him through prayer and through His Word. And then as we do prepare to close here today, Remember I said that we would come back to this. And I always do like to acknowledge that there may be someone here, there could be someone listening later online who has never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's you, I want you to know that God loved you so much that He sent Jesus into this world to pay the penalty for your sin. Our sin separates us from God, and only the blood of Jesus can rectify that. You can't earn your way into heaven just trying to be a good person, because all have sinned. And the penalty for that sin is eternal condemnation. But listen, God loves us so much that He made a way of redemption. Our sin cannot just be overlooked. It had to be atoned. And that's what Jesus did. That's what the cross of Calvary was all about. It was Jesus Christ lovingly laying down His own life, taking my place and taking yours. And because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we can now receive that gift of salvation. And how do we attain that? By reaching out to God and opening up our hearts unto Him. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible also says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." I hope you do believe. But I want you to understand that means more than just an intellectual acknowledgement. It means embracing Him with your whole heart and developing a passionate love for God, just like we've been talking about in this message today. If you have never come to know Him, I urge you today to call out to Him in prayer. Listen, it doesn't matter what specific words you say. God is not evaluating your choice of words. God is looking at your heart. And there could even be someone today that maybe you think you're saved, or you hope you are, but you're just not quite sure. Listen, that's okay. Bring that to God. Because our God is full of grace and mercy. He loves us and He wants us to come unto Him. Just reach out to Him and tell Him your concerns. Call out unto God and mean it with all your heart. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and life to be your Lord and be your Savior. And then thank God for saving you. Thank Jesus for dying in your place. Ask Him to teach you and draw you close as you develop that relationship with Him. And then don't keep it to yourself. Tell others what God has done for you. I'm going to end with this verse today. Well, it's actually two verses. I'm going to share two final verses. This will be the last scripture we read. We are just about done. And I'm going to read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I hope you will do that. Confess Jesus as Lord. You know, really that applies to all of us. If you have never confessed Jesus as your Lord, I do plead with you to do so here today. And for those who are already redeemed, keep spreading the good news of Jesus Christ as you confess Him unto others, telling people of His marvelous saving grace. Let's pray. Then we'll have our time of invitation. Our Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we once again bow before You in prayer. Lord, I thank You for this scripture passage that challenges me every time I read those words. And I have to start asking myself, am I that committed, loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might and all my strength? And Father, I just pray that You help each of us to deepen our relationship with You, to seek You every day of our lives, and to develop a passionate love for You. Father, I pray for our time of invitation just now. I pray, Lord, that You would stir people's hearts and that You would draw them unto You, Father, Lord, I pray you bless this church. I thank you for this church, for Waleska First Baptist Church. I thank you for the many years of ministry that have taken place in this church. And I continue to pray for this church going forward, that this will be a body of believers that seeks after you, not just here in this building, but away from this building in our individual private lives, that we would be seekers after you, Father, and seeking your will in this church in the days to come. And it is in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is number 154. I don't get to say this often, Tim. I invite you to take your hymnals and turn with me to hymn number 154. This is what we call our invitation hymn. I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but that's okay. I'm going to say it most every Sunday. We call this an invitation because that's exactly what this time is. You are being invited to respond. We're going to stand in just a moment if you'd like to stand. But I'll invite you, if God is speaking to your heart today, if you want to come and pray here at the front, that's why we have an invitation time. If you'd like for me to pray with you, I'd be so honored to do that, especially if you don't know Jesus. I would be so honored to pray with you today and lead you in a prayer of asking Jesus to forgive your sins and to come into your heart and be your Savior and Lord, if you've never done that. But if you just want to come and stand, kneel at the altar, or sit or kneel at the front row, however God's leading your heart, that I pray that you would respond to Him this morning.